Swamiji, what I'd like for you to talk about is what we've spoken about before. It is grace that brings us to this place. Like, it is grace that preserves us in our sadhana.
It is grace which has started even before we were born. And it is that grace which had already fixed which parents we will have, which environment we will have, what sort of upbringing we will have, to what end we will use our life. The grace had already decided, and the grace had been working before we came to the womb of our mother.
Then even the difficulties in sadhana, the ones that we feel are insurmountable, that also is grace.
Because for an ordinary me examination, how much effort you put before the examination, night and day, taking a cup of tea or coffee, you are working so hard, and there is no guarantee you are going to get happiness out of that. There is no guarantee you are going to get a beautiful job out of that, and still you do it. Here is a case where it is guaranteed that you will get that ultimate bliss, a bliss which you can never imagine, which you can never dream of. And we want to have it cheap without doing any effort. Yes, the effort is required. But the effort which you require, it is not actually any effort at all. The ultimate analysis, the entire thing is a dream. In the dream, fully after having your supper, you went to bed. In the dream, you feel you have got a terrific hunger. You go for 5 kilometers walking, that is the nearest restaurant. So you make effort and then you eat a lot. But actually when you wake up, did you go all these 5 kilometers? Did you have any effort? Not at all.
Yes.
In the same way, ultimately the grace works, and the grace alone does all the effort. We think that we are making the effort, just as we think everywhere that I am doing this, I am doing this. That doership which you are attributing yourself, you are only an instrument through which the divine love passes through, doing its own work and mission.
So can it be said then that our cooperation with the grace of God should be our patient perseverance to let the grace do its work in its own time?
Exactly so. See, Aurobindo has once told, you should have that patience and that perseverance as if you are going to get it after billions of years. But you should have that zeal and enthusiasm as if you are going to get it within 10 minutes' time.
Oh. Yes.
Don't feel frustrated. You should have that every minute you are fresh. You have that zeal. I am going to get it just now. That's it.
Even though you speak of, rightly so, of this life, this world as a dream, but you've also said it to be a nightmare, and therefore exit doors must be sought to wake up.
Exactly.
Not
so.
Just say it's a dream and let it go on. We need to extricate ourselves.
Perfectly so. But if we are in hell, you entered through a door. That's also the exit door. So even in the hell, there's an exit door. It is not outside the hell, it is inside the hell.
Yes.
Similarly, all the exit doors, not one, ever so many, the Guru, the great holy men, the holy men of the past, the scriptures, they all have been provided as exit doors to get out of the dream. But we are so clever that we avoid going anywhere near those exit doors. We love to come round and round in the vicious circle, and we love to have the nightmares, unfortunately.
So in other words, what we should want, we just don't want?
Exactly so. That is why yesterday a gentleman came. He was putting so many questions. This morning also he came. Finally he told me, "Sir, I do not know what is the goal of life." I said, "Oh my Lord, we have been doing so much sadhana without knowing where you are to go and where you are going." I told him, "Look here, it is such a common sense. We are all working for happiness. And you know that happiness nobody has got outside the world. He may have enough of money. He may have everything, the loveliest of wives and children. but it doesn't make up for his happiness. Ask anywhere, even a millionaire when he dies, how much happy he has been. He had never known happiness. He had been earning money for happiness, but he had never had a day of happiness. So when it is not available anywhere outside in all the sensuous objects, it has to be inside. But how to go inside? You shut your eyes, there is no inside. You can't see. But what is inside? There are only two sides. Either you are outside or inside. So you shut the outside. Shut all the objects, all the attractions and detractions, all the hate and love, and all the emotions relating to all the outside objects. You will have no thought. So shut out the entire outside world. You are automatically inside. And there the Lord is waiting with his open arms.
So am I correct to assume that the process of shutting out the outside or stopping the input from the world is a description of meditation and prayer?
Exactly so. The entire purpose of meditation, the entire purpose of prayers, the entire purpose of concentration is you cannot stop all the thoughts of the world. There are such strong desires imbibed by you for such a long time. That is impossible to eliminate them all. So the better way is reduce those multiple thoughts to one thought. The thought of the Lord, the prayers, the meditation, the mantra, going on repeating, Lord Jesus, peace be unto me. So you go on asking, begging, then what happens? Your emotion, which is all resting on your wife, children, money, it is all turned towards that one Lord. And that Lord is that entirety. You are only seeing a dream. The entire dream is dreamt by that one dreamer. There is that one cosmic reality. And he is a living and loving reality. So naturally, he will respond to every smile of yours. Every smile of yours brings 1,000 smiles in his face. Every moment of yours brings 1,000 moments towards you from the Lord. It is meditation. The entire purpose of meditation is when you cannot stop all the thoughts, reduce it to one thought, go on concentrating, concentrating, concentrating. That's all. Then automatically the world leaves. You get more and more attraction. The more you think of a thing, even if it's a little big, every day you come into contact with it, you will begin to love it. And God, He is all love. He is responsive, not like the pig. And how much more you will get attracted to him. Everything will simply look absolutely insipid in this world. That day will come. Till that day continue, then no effort is needed afterwards.
But you refer to causing that love from within toward God to grow. It must be a constant, daily effort.
Exactly so. But number one, how do you create love when you don't have it? The first question is, how do you create love? When a child is born, it neither knows its mother nor daddy. At least the mother cuddles. The father it never knows. How does it develop a love towards him? Only, again and again the mother says, see, your daddy has brought you so many playthings. Your daddy has brought this. Then you think you begin to love. You fake love and a lie repeated 1,000 times becomes a fact. So a fake repeated 20,000 times becomes a fact. You really begin to love him. So that is the only way you start loving.
Fake it.
Fake it, that's all.
And then the Divine Mother says, I'm tired of your lying and saying
yes,
you love me.
Yes.
I'm going to make you love me.
Exactly so. Exactly so. Exactly so. That's all. See, when you wholly love somebody, irrespective of all their faults, irrespective of the fact the man is trying even to murder you, then that man will be overwhelmed by the waves of your love. The moment you begin to hate, that hate goes, again further hate comes, the hate only will grow. The moment, that is why they say in our shastras, the viparita bhavana, that is, you think of the opposite. When the man is angry with you, absolutely be calm and loving towards him. How long can his anger last against you? It cannot.
The But sometimes it's easier said than done. When anger and hardship is forced upon you by the cruelty of another, you must be empowered to have that mercy and compassion to turn it into something positive.
Yes.
How is that gained?
Prayers. Ask the mother. Mother, that fellow is my enemy. I am unable to forgive him. Please, take away. I can't love him. At least take away my ill will from my heart. After all, whatever he does, he is going to get the recompense at the other end. Why should I bother about it? By going on entertaining the hatred, it is I who is to get the cancer of my heart. So please, my Lord, even if I cannot love him, please take away my ill will towards him. Let me be neutral at least. I am seeing so many people. I neither love nor I hate. At least let me be like this. You pray, pray, pray for anything. Even for love, you pray and you will definitely get. I will tell you one small instance. A lady was an undersecretary, an African lady in the United Nations, once came to see Satya Sai Baba along with a small child. She was to go back. She sat in the plane and very soon the people who take it over and all that?
The hostesses or the stewards, the duty
people? Hijacking.
Oh,
so the hijackers
went over
there,
the plane, yes.
And they went, and two of them covered the pilot, and one chap was placing some small bombs like in various places.
Yes, terrorists.
The lady immediately thought of Satya Sai Baba and said, Baba, I had come to see you all the way. This is how you recompense me by taking me to eternity with my child. Then Pat gave a reply in her heart. Love those chaps who are there around you. She says, how can I? The fellows are pointing their rifles at me and that fellow is placing the bomb. How can I love him? He said, if you cannot love, pray to the Lord to remove your ill will against him. She was praying. Within a few minutes, the fellow was placing. He suddenly stopped. It looked as if he was confused. He was just sitting idle. The others were all looking at him. Within a few minutes, the fellows from inside the cockpit, they walked with the pilot. They made a forced landing in some field, in some remote place. They all got out and walked. Nothing happened. Nobody knew how it happened, why it happened. Nobody knew. This is a case in point. So the way is prayers. Even prayers, you don't have the heart to do it. What else can you do? Seek the company of holy men. Wherever they are, you just, even if it is by chance, it doesn't matter, you go and hear. A small story. Yeah, a thief was once going in a forest. It was raining heavily. He saw shelter under a place where the Mahavir, the founder of the Jainism, he was giving a talk. He was there only for 2 minutes. He heard only one sentence. The sentence was, look here, sometimes the gods and the goddesses, they visit the human plane. They look like human beings. The way in which you can discriminate is, see whether their feet touches the ground. Their feet will not touch the ground if they are goddesses. This is all he heard. I don't know, he was talking about some things. He went away. The king was trying to catch him a long time. He wanted to get a confession that he had done so many robberies, but there was no proof against him. So he thought of a new plan. That day this fellow was brought. He was drugged, he was unconscious. He was taken to a big mansion which was arranged like the heavens. There were a number of beautiful girls, some dancing, some this thing. He suddenly found when he got up, he's in a strange place where all luxury is there. He is lying down. He asked some ladies, where am I? Where should you be? You are in the heaven. You have been brought over here. But it's only temporary. If you confess all the crimes you have done, then God Indra will pardon you and you will be here permanently. Otherwise, in 15 minutes' time, you will be nagged out to the hell. He said, it's so easy. I have only to confess and I will be here permanently. But then he remembered that one saying of Mahavir. He looked at them all. They should be goddesses and fairies like. He found their feet touched the ground. He said there is some conspiracy.
Yes.
This cannot be the heavens. Mm-hmm. Then he confessed all the good deeds which has never done.
Yes.
So the king was frustrated, he was left out. He said, look here. I just heard that holy man's words only for 1 minute. Now my life has been saved. Uh-huh. I don't know if I were to hear all his words, what all I would get. He went back, bowed to Mahavir, and requested him to make him his disciple.
But Swamiji, many devotees of God, many people who just yearn for... Swamiji, one thing we didn't talk on, which you've really emphasized a lot, is the practice must be perpetual. For God to come into our life and stay into our life, we need to be, in a sense, constantly inviting God into our life through sadhana, through prayers, through any... Go to God any way you like.
Yes. The practice is necessary. But the basic ingredient of all the prayers, of all the sadhana, we should not forget, it is absolute, unconditional love. And where there is a love, there is a surrender. Then let the lover decide, I am nobody. Whatever you do, I accept. So it is that unconditional surrender, that love has to be there. When that love is there, automatically what sadhanas can we do?
Mm-hmm.
Everything is got made by her. She only wants a little love from you. And she makes all the sadhanas, then the love grows, grows, grows. That's how things happen.
So is this the sense where Sri Ramana Maharshi speaks about partial surrender must come first?
Huh. See, the partial surrender may have several meanings. The one thing is, there is one occasion where he says, Lord, thy will be done. I don't care. You look after this. There may be another case where you think it is so serious, you can't depend purely on God alone. So you try to go and seek help for yourself from others. So that may be called the partial surrender. And the second surrender is, my son is ill, terrifically ill. I bow down to the Lord. Lord, I am absolutely dependent on you. But still, in addition, to be on the safer side, you may go to a doctor also. This also can be called the partial surrender.
Yes.
That is, in the same case, you seek the Lord's. But anyway, the day you call him for any purpose, even though you share him with your doctors and something else, even that is sufficient for him. That even that shows the seed of love, the seed of belief in him. So he is prepared to help you out, and that day will automatically come when you will 100% you will depend on him only.
Yes,
and
yes.
Else. That is that.
We were speaking about pure love or sattvic love. How essential is it to instill and maintain sattvic elements in your life, sattvic diet, sattvic association, cleanliness of the body, cleanliness of thoughts?
See, it is really important, because the basic building blocks in everybody's life is the three characters. The one is the sattva guna, which is a life of harmony, a life of light, a life of forgiveness, a life of forbearance. And the second one is called Rajoguna, where it is dynamism. I want to do this, I want to build churches, I want to build temples, I want to have an association of all the devotees, I want to have meetings every week. And this is Rajoguna. And ultimately is Tamoguna, full of procrastination. Oh, why should I do it today? Tomorrow let us do it. Postponing things, sleepy, drowsiness, so not being bright, not bothering about things. So these are the three blocks. Unless we have ultimately to go beyond it all, because there is every guna will propel you to one action. Even the sattva guna is a golden chain, while tamo guna is an iron chain. But it is a chain all the more. So ultimately we have to go. But first, when you are getting procrastinated, you start with doing something. I will do prayers. I will do prayers loudly so that I may not sleep. I will be walking and doing my meditation. I will be walking and chanting my prayers. So you have to be dynamic, but the dynamism should be towards the positive nature, rewarding the prayers to the Lord and chanting of the mantras or chanting, singing or reading the lives of the devotees of the Lord, the erstwhile saints. So it should be in that direction. So we start like that. Then finally we come to Sattva-guna. A beautiful chapter is there in Bhagavad Gita. I have not seen it in any scriptures where our sincerity, our tapasya, our penance, everything has been categorized into three types, based on Sattva-guna, based on Rajo-guna. That is, I may go every day to the temple, to the God, and I will be shedding tears, O Ramana, O Ramana. I will do it in order to impress Sadashivananda, to impress other people. Oh, what a beautiful, every day he comes and peace before the Lord. See how we all sing. So that is called Rajoguna. It is not going to help you at all. And Tamoguna is where you are going and telling him, Lord, I dislike my neighbor. Please see that his house falls into ruins. So in order to harm somebody, you are going to the God and begging. That is Tamoguna. Then finally, Sattva-guna is there where you pray for everybody. You forget yourself. You pray for everybody. And the ultimate is, don't bother about the world, bother about the Divine Mother, bother about the Supreme Lord, bother about the Supreme Deity, and be devoted to Him wholly. That is beyond all. That will automatically come. So, Sattva-guna is essential in everything. Our own Gita, it says, you have to have such food only. See, too much of bitterness, too much of chilies, too much of sourness, all too much should be avoided. Everything should be to the minimum. All these things have been mentioned there.
Yes.
So similarly, everything we should be moderate, even in our play, even our anything. See, don't one day I'm going to fast. So today, Monday, I'm fasting. Tomorrow also I'm fasting. Day after tomorrow fasting. No. In the temple of the Lord, He lives there. By fasting, you are making the Lord fast.
Yeah.
So, when once you do it in that, it is a question of a motive. It is not the action which counts. It is the motive with which you do the action. The same food you take, I like it very much, so good. Then it's not going to help you at all spiritually. When you take it, the other day here it so happened. Somebody gave me that, a banana. I removed it. And I just took one portion out of it and put it in the mouth. One Dolly Kola, an old Parsi devotee, she was sitting by my side. Swamiji, why are you wasting both the hands? You just take it and then directly put it in the mouth. I said, no. When your child is there, how do you feed? You don't take the plate to its mouth. You take it and then feed it. My Lord is here inside. I am feeding him. That is why I do like this.
Hmm.
She said, it's a very good idea.
Yes.
So, it's all a question of the motive. It's all a question of your imaginative approach, full of love towards that Lord. Whether you have seen Him or not, you are seeing all His handiwork everywhere. You yourself is handiwork. You are intelligent. You are beautiful. You have been able to carry on so many things. It is all her energy which has come into you. So, every day you are witnessing her deeds.
Yes.
So, we have to love her.
So the guidance of the scriptures that you're defining say we analyze our mind and our faults only to see where the Rajaguna and Tamoguna exist, not to dwell on it and struggle with it, but attached to the opposite, attached to the virtue
exactly
and the
so.
Sattva element.
See, reasoning, logic, systematic approach will take you nowhere. As I said, make love your base. Everything will come. The mother will see to it that you will get only the food which suits you. You get only that environment which suits you. Actually, it is told in the Vedas. When you do this sadhana very well, when you begin to love her, automatically the entire environment, however inimical, however deleterious to your this thing were there, the entire atmosphere will change. Madhuvata rita yate madhuksharam disandhva. A day will come, all the water will be good. Even a gutter water will not create any problem for you. Today you are going for mineral waters. There is no necessity. And you take any vegetable anywhere, any food anywhere, including Parthivagam Rajah. We are all, you know, we say dust allergy. On that day you inhale any amount of dust, nothing will happen to you. Thus, a day comes when the Lord Himself takes care of your health and you, all the environment, and changes more conducive to your meditation. So initially, wherever you are, however we are, start doing it with love. So love her wholly. As I said, if you don't love her, fake it, weep, even let it be a crocodile tears. A day will come and there will be real tears. You do it, everything will change. All your food will be nice. All what all you do will be based on Sattvic Guna. Everything will change for you. Yes, a man whose constitution is so situated, he would like to analyze too and all these things, he can go by that path. But this is a shortcut, I feel, where you directly approach her. You say, mother, I know nothing. The child doesn't know what is good and what is bad. It is the mother who every time says, no, don't touch it. There's fire. It will burn you. What does the child know? So completely leave it to her.
It's not only a shortcut, it's a sure cut. You're sure of success. So perhaps we'll end there. In glory of the Divine Mother, before you start to speak of Ashtavakra again and the dream of that. Om, om, om.